Genesis, chapter 48, face to face with God. When Jacob had by treachery secured the birthright and the father's blessing, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob." Rebekah heard of Esau's purpose, and she told Jacob of it, and said to him, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee to Laban my brother to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until your brother's fury turn away, until your brother's anger turn from you, and he forget that which you have done to him. Then will I send and fetch you from thence." Alas, poor woman, she little knew the depth of fury that was in Esau's heart. He was a profane person, and did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. The few days had lengthened into 20 years, but never had Rebekah dared send for Jacob. Now, after long exile, he was venturing back, driven by unbearable oppression in the place whither he had fled for safety. Uncertain as to the state of Esau's mind, Jacob sent messengers ahead to greet him, and to seek his favor. But those had returned, bringing the alarming news that they had met Esau coming to meet him with 400 men. The situation was most critical, and Jacob might well be greatly afraid and distressed. But Esau's company was not the only band that was ahead of Jacob and his family. Before this, as he went on his way, the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of the place Mahanaim, margin, that is, two hosts or camps. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him, and delivers them. There were two companies encamped on the plain, one with no strength at all, and the other with all power, and between them they were invincible without striking a blow. What a blessed thing to know ourselves as part of the whole family in heaven and earth. Jacob saw the angels of God, and called it God's host Mahana. Then he saw his own feeble company, and straightway doubled it Mahanaim, two hosts. It is as though God's hosts of angels, strong and mighty as they are alone, have double power when doing service for those who shall be heirs of salvation. It was night, and the next day Jacob must meet his revengeful brother. How could he face him? There was only one way. He must first meet God. So, having done all that lay in his power to provide for the safety of his family, he remained alone by the brook Jabbok to have a season of secret prayer. He must know that there was no separation between himself and God before he could meet his angry brother. Now it is sin alone that separates men from God and prevents him from exercising his strong arm in their defense. Therefore we know that Jacob went to the secret place of prayer to confess his sin to God and to receive the assurance of pardon and of union with God. What a grand thing it was that years before he had learned the way into the house of God. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go, except you bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed." And Jacob asked him, and said, "Tell me, I pray you, your name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that you do ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. We read of Jacob that by his strength he had power with God, yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept, and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with us, "Even the Lord of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." It was by his strength that Jacob prevailed. And what was his strength? It was his helplessness. Jacob wrestled all night with one whom he supposed was a man seeking to take his life, but when that mysterious stranger touched his thigh and put it out of joint, he knew that he was in the presence of God. Then what did he do? He most certainly did the only thing that a man under such circumstances, with his thigh suddenly put out of joint, could do. He threw his arms round the neck of the angel for support. And now a wonderful thing happens. The victor turns suppliant. He who had power utterly to disable Jacob with a light touch begs the stricken, clinging man to let him go. What does this show? That God cannot tear himself away from the helpless one that clings to him for support. He is the Almighty, and can easily loose the joints of the stoutest wrestler, but he cannot unloose the arms that confidingly clasp his neck. Jacob caught at that word. "Let me go," and declared. "I will not." With what boldness we may draw near to God. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Do not fail to notice how Jacob first began his request to God. He said, "You said, Lord, I will surely do you good, and make your seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." He pleaded God's promise. He told God what he had said, and when one does that, and remembers that God cannot lie, he has the things that he asked for. Only one thing is necessary to enable anyone to have all good things that he needs, and that is to believe that God is true. From henceforth Jacob had a new name. Up to that time he had been the supplanter, the one who in the battle of life would stoop to take a mean advantage of his brother, and catching him by the heel, would trip him up. But that method could not give him a real victory. He earned the name Israel Prince, Overcomer, by yielding himself up. Now we know who are Israel. They are the sons who overcome. No matter what the nationality, the man who has power in prayer with God is an Israelite. The first one who received the name was Assyrian. Since then, men of every nation under heaven have been enrolled by that name in God's book. Such ones have power indeed. "He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, says the Lord, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father." No enemy can stand before the face of the man who can stand before the face of God. He who can see God face to face and have his life preserved need have no fear of man. Esau's fury was disarmed while Jacob was weeping in the arms of God. Before that Jacob was afraid, but he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." And then, having seen the Lord, he could say, "Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid." E.J. Wagoner.